ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And so, in knowing who God is, and this is what you have to fall back on, you can trust Him that He has what's best for your life. Well, what about the Christian who died? I guarantee you, he's not in heaven going, you know, I wish I lived a little longer. Are you kidding me? We feel that way because we miss the loved one, but they don't. They don't miss out on anything. And again, God loves us. He knows what's best for us. He has a plan. And I'm going to trust him. I'm trusting him with my salvation. Can I trust him with my life also? Yeah, I hope so. Now, Jesus asked this man who can't walk a very simple question. Do you want to be made well? Are you kidding me? Really, that's the question Jesus asked us? Of course he does. That's why he's at the pool. He's there because he wants to be made well. Why did Jesus do that? First of all, we know Jesus is not cruel. So that's wrong. I believe it was to draw out this man's faith. The question, right? Do you want to be made well? And for those that are crippled in sin and bondage to sin, Jesus wants to set them free. He doesn't want them to destroy themselves by those things that have them crippled. And apart from Christ, everyone is in bondage to sin, and they're headed for destruction. Maybe not in this life, but in what's to come, eternal life. Because apart from Christ, you'll spend eternity in the lake of fire because you've rejected the forgiveness of your sins that's only found in Jesus. He's the one that can heal. We know that to be true, but what about us as Christians? How does this even apply to us? I think a lot of Christians are crippled in their walk with God, not physically crippled, but crippled because of anger or hatred or bitterness, unforgiveness, whatever else you want to put in there. Their walk is hampered because they refuse to deal with these issues, and they cling to them, and they won't let them go. And it's not good. And believe me, we all have our good reasons, in quotation marks, why we're behaving like we behave, but they really are not good. We try to justify our actions that we could do a good job. At least we think we're doing a good job. But here comes Jesus. He goes, do you want to be healed? I'm good. No, I'm doing okay, Lord. You know, you really should work on that other person because I'm okay. And you know, these people that did this to me, they're just getting what they deserve. You know, thanks anyway. And the tragedy is that they remain in that condition, not because they have to, but because they choose to be in that condition. The bottom line is this, if you want that abundant life in Christ, the wholeness of life, and function as a healthy person, you might say, it begins with our heart. And you have to let Jesus touch and heal you and get rid of that anger, the bitterness, the hatred, or whatever it is that's holding you back. Because if you don't, you'll remain in that condition. You'll see relationship after relationship fall away, and you'll have all your reasons, but Jesus says, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made well? And so many times we want to blame other people for the condition we're in. I've known people that their past life, they can't just let go. They can't move on. They're always dwelling in the past. And yet the Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have been new, except for you, Joe, because, you know, you've got issues. No, it doesn't say that, okay? But that's the way we feel. No, we're a new creation. The Amplified Bible puts 2 Corinthians 5:17 like this. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he's a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, fresh and new has come. Praise God for that. Praise God I don't have to live in my past, right? You know, Paul in Philippians, you know, Paul was a man before he got saved, was persecuting Christians. He was there when Stephen was put to death. He was pulling them out of their homes and bringing them to the Jewish religious leaders until the Lord got a hold of his heart on the road to Damascus. And he says, you know, put those things that are behind, I leave them there, and I'm going to press on to the upward calling. And that's what we need to do. In fact, in Galatians 2:20 said, I have been crucified in Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, it's completely different now. It's not me. I'm not living anymore. It's Christ living in me that's being manifested in my life and the things I do and things I say. Now, do always people see Jesus in me? No, because I let the flesh get a control of my life and it's not pretty. You know, years ago, before I got saved, I used the excuse, well, you know, Italians, we have a bad temper. That was my excuse. It's my nationality. I'm Italian. No, you're a new creation in Christ. Don't use those excuses anymore. That's your flesh coming out, and it's ugly. Don't live in the past. You learn from the past, and you can use it to help with your witness of where you're at now, but don't focus on the past because you're a new creation in Christ. And I'm not saying that the past was easy, or that it wasn't painful, but just don't live there. It will cripple your walk with the Lord as it does many people. And if we're holding on to things like anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, and the like, are any of those things the fruit of the Spirit? No, they're the works of the flesh. Let them go. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made healthy? Healthy in your walk. Then don't hold on to those crutches in your life. You let them go and you hold on to Jesus. Now, as we read on, I think this man's answer shows that he's missing the point. He's still thinking physically, and we see that a lot. Okay, Jesus is trying to draw him out spiritually, right? But people, like the Samaritan woman, they were thinking physically. Jesus had living water for her. She says, oh, give me some of that water, because then I don't have to go to this stinking well and keep getting water all the time. What's that living water that I'll never thirst again? Jesus wanted to draw out the spiritual picture. I think that's true here. Look at verse 7 of John chapter 5. The sick man answered him, Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Now, keep in mind that that response was to the question Jesus asked him. Do you want to be made well? And he really doesn't answer the question that Jesus asked him. He begins to tell Jesus why he's still in this condition. No one is kind enough to place me in the water when the waters are stirred so I could be healed. What is he looking for? Worldly help. The world, no one's helping me here. I need help from the world. They're not willing to help me. That's not what Jesus asked him. He said, do you want to be made well? You know, God wants to set us free in areas of bondage. And what do? We tell him the reasons why we can't be free, right? But the question's the same. Do you want to be made well? And the answer should be, you bet I do. But we have the excuses why we can't be healed. This man, again, he blamed others for not helping him. And we blame others why we're acting the way we do instead of allowing Jesus to heal the situation. It's not that we can't be healed. It's we choose that we don't want to be healed. I like what Pastor Chuck said. It's interesting. The man didn't answer the question of Jesus at all. The question was, would you like to be healed? And all the man did was tell Jesus the reason why he wasn't healed. I think a lot of times when the Lord comes and addresses our place of impotence by asking, would you like to be set free? Well, Lord, you know I have this problem and I've tried, and we're just telling him all of the reasons why we can't be set free. All the reasons why we are continuing in our place of impotency rather than responding, yes, I'd like to be set free. And so the man gives to Jesus the reasons why he isn't and can't be healed. You probably know all the reasons why you're in the condition you're in. You could probably give the Lord a good explanation what's going on. This is what's happening. This is why I'm still in the same lame condition. Why I'm not healed. And the question was, would you like to be healed? Yeah, you know, Calvin said the sick man does what we nearly all do. He limits God's help to his own ideas and does not dare promise himself more than he conceives in his mind. Do you believe God can heal you from the issues that are in your heart? He can. He wants to set us free. Jesus said in John 8:36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Do you believe, again, that God can heal you from your sins, that he can set you free from those things that are holding on to your life and crippling your walk with him? Because he can. But again, how many times we just lose hope? I've been this way all my life. I'm never going to be able to change. And that's true. You will never be able to change. But God didn't say you had to do it. He said, I want to help you. Yeah, there's things that we have to do, and we'll talk about that. But from a human viewpoint, we limit what God wants to do. Some people, it's drinking alcohol. It's ruining their life, their family, their home. They tried and tried and tried and thought they had it under control, but they couldn't. And they try to control it. Someone maybe said, oh, it's easy to stop smoking. I've done it 100 times. Yeah, I've done it. Stop taking drugs, but you're hooked. It's hard to break that habit. Wrestling with inner problems of lust, pornography, or whatever. Someone said, a young pastor told me recently that his problem was that he loved to read pornographic magazines, a pastor. Outwardly, he was given the impression that he was one of God's men, inwardly pure, living a lifestyle that was honoring God, but inwardly, there was a giving way. He couldn't put the magazine, or he couldn't pass a magazine store without picking up some of these magazines. And he tried to stop, but he couldn't. He said, what will I do? Maybe it's your marriage. You've asked for help, but nobody seems to care. It's getting worse and worse. Hopeless situation, like where this man is here in John. And Jesus says, do you want to be made well? Oh, come on. Get someone to put me in the pool. That's what I need. It's not worldly help. It's help from God. And we as Christians, it's easy to lose sight of that because, you know, we like to be in the driver's seat. We like to be in control. And I can do this because I'm strong enough. I'm tough enough. And the Lord will let us and we'll fail. And he always wants us to return to him. But for this man, he couldn't get in those waters. It was impossible for him to be healed, at least in his mind. And notice the command that Jesus gives to this man. Look at verse 8. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. Again, cruel. I mean, how do you go up to a lame person and say, hey, take up your bed and walk, buddy? I haven't done it for 38 years. There's muscles. There's no muscles there. There's nothing. I haven't walked for 38 years. Now you're telling me, stand up and walk. You have to be kidding me. Wow. That's from a human perspective. And let me tell you this. God is never going to tell you to do something that he's not going to enable you to do. He will equip you to be able to do it. He's not going to say, Joe, I want you to do this, and that say, good luck. No, he's going to equip you to be able to do it. And we need to understand that. This was not going to be worldly help for this man. That's not how he's going to be cured. He wasn't going to get help from others. The law was not going to set him free from the bondage that he was in, nor were any rules or regulations going to do it. Then how is he going to be healed? By Jesus. By Jesus. And that's where many people miss it. God tells us to believe in something and then act upon it. He doesn't say, you know, try to build up faith in your mind. Try to fasten your thoughts on this or that. What does he say? Rise, stand up. Wow. And I don't know if this man felt anything when Jesus said that. I don't think he did necessarily. I don't think he felt power in his legs to do it necessarily. I think it was an act of faith on this man's part. Jim Campbell Morgan said, in order to make no provision for relapse, in other words, he said, take up your mat. Why? Because you're not coming back here. You see, if he left the mat there, hey, you know, okay, I can walk today. Maybe tomorrow I won't be able to. At least I have the mat to fall back on. No, Jesus said, take up your bed, your mat. Walk. Get rid of it. Leave it there. I think that's important for us. Because many times we leave things behind that we can always go back to. You got to burn your bridges. You got to cut off those possibilities of going back. Let people know the stand that you're taking for your faith in Christ. Burn those bridges. You know, again, the Lord is doing his part here, right? Because he's God. He's the only one that could heal this man. But it doesn't end there. You know, we think, okay, Lord, I want that job, and I'm just going to sit here in my recliner. And if you drop it in, have someone call me, have someone come to the door and say, I got a job for you, that would be great. Let me know when you find it. No, he says, rise and walk. Go apply for a job, right? Okay, believe that you have it. Go for it now. So we're moving now from the command of Jesus, right? Rise, take up your bed or mat and walk, to obedience. And there is the key. Verse 9. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And what did the man say? Are you kidding me? Walk? I can't walk. That's why I'm here. There's no indication that he's thought that even, let alone said it. And I think many times we just read these stories and we don't think much about it. But look at the faith that this man has. It's pretty incredible. He didn't know who Jesus was at this time. He just knew there was something different about this guy. And when this man said, take up your mat, your bed, and walk, he knew he needed to do that. He could have gone on making excuses why he couldn't, but he didn't. He obeyed the voice of God who told him to do the impossible. And he stood up and walked. I'm sure he leaped for joy. I mean, can you imagine? You know, when the Lord called me to be a pastor, that was the farthest thing from my mind. Because I hate speaking in front of people. It's not one of those things that I enjoy doing. I never took a speech class because I was terrified to speak in front of people. And the Lord called me to do something that I was not comfortable in doing. And he said, basically to me, rise, take up your bed, mat, and walk. And I believed it by faith. I could have ignored what he said, and I would have missed out on the blessing. But I obeyed, and I received the blessing. And that's what we need to do. Obey the voice of God. Sometimes it's to do the impossible. And he stood up and walked, like I said. Incredible. And we see this over and over in the scriptures where the people of God are placed in a situation that is hopeless from a world's viewpoint. But they needed to look to God. Remember when the children of Israel were set free from their bondage in Egypt? This is one of those amazing, amazing stories. A hopeless situation God placed them in. The Red Sea was in front of them. Mountains on either side and the Egyptian army behind them. Imagine you have 2 to 3 million people that you have to cross the Red Sea. There's no way you're doing it. You would never be able to do it before the Egyptian army came and overtook you. And the people looked at the situation through worldly eyes. They started to complain to Moses for getting them in this situation. And to God, would you bring us here to die? And Moses could have made all kinds of excuses why they were in trouble. You people are so slow. You never move fast enough. We would have made it. No, he didn't say that. In Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14, Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Isn't that interesting? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, right? The Red Sea opens up. Now God says, walk on dry ground. Walk through to the other side. Are you kidding me? Look at those waters. I mean, what if they come crashing down on us? They didn't say that. They obeyed. But when the Egyptian army went into the middle, after God loosened the bolts on their wheels, you know, and they kind of had trouble driving their chariots, they got into the middle of the Red Sea. The waters came crashing down, destroyed them all. With men, this was impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And we need to remember that in our own lives. We cannot do it on our own. And I don't know where you're at this morning. We probably all deal with some of these issues, anger, bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness, and the like. And Jesus says, stand up and walk. Because God gives us the strength to do it. You just need to obey what he's telling you. Maybe it's drugs, alcohol, pornography, or the like. And you want to let go, but you can't. And Jesus says, you know, stand up and walk. He's giving you the strength to do it. You need to obey what he's telling you. You know, Paul in Galatians 5:15 said, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. In other words, if you are fighting amongst yourself, you're going to be crippled in your walk. You know, if you want to be crippled in your walk with God, don't do anything. The flesh will take over. It's not an issue. It's really easy, right? We've all been there. You know, we're driving in our car and we're doing good. You know, we're singing Praise Jesus and someone cuts us off and we're not saying Praise Jesus anymore. How fast did that happen? It was like, boom. Where did that come from? That flesh. You need to give it to God. You need to say, Lord, I don't want to be crippled anymore. I want to walk as you want me to walk. And I want to obey you. You know, Paul said in Galatians 5, 16 through 18, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. There's the battle. Whatever you're feeding your life with is going to be manifested in your life. If I ate at McDonald's every day and Dunkin' Donuts every day, you would see how that was manifested in my life. It wouldn't be pretty. If we spend time with God in His Word, surrendered to His will for our lives, He will be manifested in our life. His nature will be manifested in our lives. And He's given us the power to live accordingly, His Spirit. You know, it's not like all the religions of the world that tell you, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. No, God says, don't go down this path, and I'm giving you the power to succeed, the Holy Spirit who indwells you. Wow. But it's always our choice, guys. That's the key. This man could have remained on his bed or mat and stayed crippled. Or he could have obeyed Jesus and stood up and walked, leaving that old life behind. Now, I'm going to kind of real quickly here set up for what next week. Verse 9 closes, and that day was the Sabbath. We think, so what? Well, that's going to lead us to a problem that the Jewish religious leaders had. It was the Sabbath day. And so instead of rejoicing, these Jewish religious leaders are going to end up wanting to kill Jesus. And John chapter 5, as we'll see over the next 2 years, no, I'm just kidding. This is such a powerful chapter because Jesus shows them His deity. And you can't end this chapter without saying, oh man, Jesus always claimed to be God. Look at what He said here. He is Almighty God. But they couldn't handle it because it went beyond their beliefs, their tradition. How could you heal on the Sabbath? You could heal any other day of the week. Why the Sabbath? My question to them is, have you ever healed anyone in your entire life? And now you're complaining because Jesus healed this man? You should be jumping up and down praising God. But you're not. Let's not be closed to what God's doing because it doesn't fit in with what we believe. It needs to fit in with what the scriptures say. But many times what we believe is our own beliefs, like with the Jewish religious leaders. They came up with their own ideas, their own doctrine that went far beyond what God had said. Remember, what Jesus said, do you want to be made well? And I'm sure we do. And then Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. We need to listen to what He's telling us in the various situations we're in and obey because God's mercy is extended to this man and to us. Remember, it's the pool of mercy. And it supersedes the law. God's mercy to us, giving something to us that we don't deserve. Thank you, Lord, for working in our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this story that probably, to the Jewish religious leaders, this man was nothing. He was a sinner in their minds because he was sick, he was lame. And they always thought if you were sick or lame, it was a result of sin in your life. And that's this man. For 38 years, for whatever reason, was crippled. And you healed him because you love him. And you love us. And for those that don't know you, Lord, I pray that they come to you. They see their sin. That the pools that they're washing in are filthy and they can't save them. But they need you, Lord, to cleanse them of their sin. And Lord, they just need to repent and ask you to be Lord and Savior of their lives. And for all of us, Lord, who know you, we want to rise above all the anger and hatred, bitterness, the problems with alcohol, drugs, pornography, whatever is crippling our walk. Lord, we want to walk again. Help us to surrender to you because you've called us to rise up. Take our beds and walk. Get rid of that old stuff and walk in the new life we have in you. Thank you, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.